Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program Let Us Reflect. Today, our topic is seek and attain. The topic itself does not give us too much information about what we will cover today. We will keep it as a delayed surprise, or we'll just keep you in suspense for a few moments. Before we cover the main part of our session today, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence, the benefit of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. An action we refer to as Salat al-Nabi or Durood Sharif. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, whosoever sends blessings upon me at 100 times on Friday night and on Friday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 of them in the hereafter and 30 of them in this world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Just one point to bear in mind. Here, Friday night means the night between Thursday and Friday as we understand it in English, because Islamically the night comes before the day. So the hadith narration, if you want to attain the benefit with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Thursday night, what we understand to be Thursday night, but really Islamically it's Friday night. That night between Thursday and Friday, and then Friday, the actual day before sunset, you would try to recite salawat 100 times with this hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 100 needs, 70 of them in the hereafter and 30 in this world. In the Quran and Hadith, certain traits of human beings are mentioned. There are certain characteristics which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned clearly in the Quran. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has described human nature in terms of human beings having certain characteristics. And the first Hadith, which will be a focal point for our discussion today, this Hadith that I will share with you now, this expresses one of the human characteristics, inherent characteristics of human beings. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam specified a trait, a character trait that most people, generally speaking, human beings have this trait or are affected by this quality in some way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, لو أن لابن آدم واديا من ذهب, if the son of Adam was given a valley of gold, أحب أن يكون له واديان, he would desire two valleys, meaning two valleys of gold. So if the son of Adam was given a valley of gold, he would desire two valleys. وَلَنْ يَمْلَأْ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابِ, and nothing can fill his mouth except for the earth. And whosoever repents in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his repentance. The obvious point here, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has expressed the greed of an individual, that human beings, generally speaking, they are affected by greed or hirs to such an extent that they have an insatiable desire to want more. If they're given something, it would not be the end. They won't be content with it. If they were offered more, or if they had a chance to attain more, they would jump at that chance. This is what the hadith is indicating, that a person is never content with what he has. And what will fill his, what will satisfy him? Well, the only thing that will fill his mouth or according to different variations of this hadith, the only thing that will fill his stomach, that will end his coveting, that will end his yearning for more, is when he finally dies and he reaches his grave. This is the nature of the human being, always wanting more, craving for more, yearning for more. Dear viewers, remember, hirs, or having a craving or coveting something or yearning for something, is not always prohibited in the Sharia or reprehensible in the Sharia. There are types of yearning or seeking that are permissible or even rewarding. For example, if a person wants to, he has this yearning for knowledge and he strives to seek knowledge and he is never satisfied with his level of learning or studying. That's a good hirs. To be harisul hasanat, to be greedy for good deeds, this is a good thing. Not to be harisul sayyiat, to be greedy for evil deeds. Harisul mal, it's a bad thing, generally speaking. It's something which can be reprehensible, because harisul mal, someone who is greedy for wealth and riches, usually it's not because he wants to spend his wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he wants to help other people. It's because he is lost in the love of the world and he wants to increase his luxury, and he is likely to become heedless in terms of the religion and the laws of the religion or the obligations of the religion. So you have people who are greedy for food. This can become something reprehensible too, because the body has a right, and to put one's body in distress intentionally, knowing that something, the excess of something is not good, is something which may become reprehensible for that person. Allama ibn Battal alayhi rahma, he comments on this hadith and he says that in this particular narration, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam stated the greed of an individual, or the desire of an individual for wealth, of a human being for wealth. And he says that the hadith narration states that there is apparently no limit to his desire or his craving or his coveting of wealth. He continues to reiterate the point that the hadith mentions that only the soil of the grave, only the earth will fill the stomach of such an individual, or of the human being generally speaking, that his yearning and his craving won't come to an end. When he reaches his grave, that's when it will end, and that will only happen because there is no means for him to fulfill his desire. He also makes this point that greed or craving for the wealth of this world is something which is considered reprehensible. And this is why our pious predecessors, the righteous people, the Salihin, they would turn away from the world. They would distance themselves from things that were considered to be worldly. And in this day and age, people are craving for things without needing them. They are craving for things and buying things to impress people who are not fond of them, or impress people they do not really have a friendship with. So some people buy ostentatiously to show other people, whether it's to impress them or to create an inferiority complex in other people, that look, you can't do what you can't buy what we've bought, or we have so much, or we are financially so strong that we're able to buy X, Y, and Z. Another point to keep in mind is that there is no end. We have to put restrictions in place. We have to draw the line somewhere. If you keep coveting things, you keep yearning for things, where will it stop? And those who are affected by greed, materialism, greed for wealth, they know deep down in their hearts that each time they buy something or they attain possession of something, it doesn't fill that hole inside them. It does not give them any contentment. There's no real satisfaction. It's just another item, another object, which will be followed by many other objects. Because in these matters, in matters where intentions are wrong, in sinful matters, there is no real satisfaction. There is no real contentment. So people, they keep doing the sin for a moment's pleasure. They keep buying for a moment's pleasure of for the ego or to suppress a sudden feeling, a craving, but it returns again. We've used this word hirs, and I've said that hirs means a craving or a desire or coveting something, wanting something. A basic definition of hirs is that it's an insatiable desire. It's when you're not satisfied with something and you're always wanting more. So this condition where a person has an insatiable desire for more, this is hirs. This condition is hirs. So sometimes when you translate it with one word like greed or coveting, it doesn't do justice to the word itself. The word is more powerful than that. So hirs, it actually describes that condition where a person is really, he yearns for things or he yearns for more, and he's never satisfied. It's insatiable. The desire is insatiable. One who is affected by this condition is called, it may be described as haris. So hirs is a condition which describes an insatiable desire, wanting more in such a way where there is no contentment whatsoever. Mullah Ali Qari alayhi rahmah, he mentions that in this hadith, this point is made that human beings in their nature, they have this stinginess within them. And he cites a verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, قُلْ لَوْ أَنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي إِذَا لَأَمْسَكْتُمْ خَشْيَةَ الْإِنْفَاقِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that say, if you are given possession of treasures of mercy of my Lord, you would withhold it due to fear of spending. This is a human being, that if he had something as great in his possession as the treasures of divine mercy, even then, being so greedy and being so miserly in his nature, he would withhold it. Why? Fear. I may spend it and I may have less. This fear of less. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the end of the verse clearly says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَطُورًا, that human being, man is most miserly. This is within the nature of a human being. Mullah Ali Qari alayhi rahmah, he comments on this and he says it's like such extreme stinginess or greed, like the bird that dies at the coast. The sea is in front of it, so much water, but it dies of thirst at the coast. Why? Fearing that taking from that water would lessen the water. That kind of extreme level of greed within an individual. That's one of the examples that he gives. We must reflect upon ourselves. Are we affected by the bad element of hirs? Do we have an insatiable desire for the objects of this world? Have we fallen in love with this world and our hopes and aspirations are only for this world? We must reflect upon this. And it doesn't take long for us to decide whether our inclination is a worldly inclination or a religious inclination, meaning an inclination to matters of the hereafter. All we have to do is look at our routine, our decisions, our conversations, our company. These things reflect our preference in terms of life, whether we prefer matters of this world or we prefer the affairs of the hereafter. If we are worried and concerned about the hereafter, if we have a craving, a yearning for good deeds, our actions for good or righteous actions will be more. If our craving and yearning and concern is only for this world, then most of what we do will be considered worldly. This does not include earning for your family. That's an act of worship done with good intention to support your family. We're talking about a general kind of inclination, the way we plan, the way we think, our decisions for the near future, our aspirations for ourselves, our children. These matters reflect our inclination to this world. In terms of the theme of our program, when we say seek and attain in religion, seek and attain is seeking ways of obedience, seeking ways of attaining goodness, righteous deeds, good deeds. So when you seek ways of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you seek sacred knowledge. This knowledge will be your light and it will light the way, remove the darkness of your path, and you will attain the path of salvation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a means. So when we say seek and attain, we mean seek goodness, seek righteousness, seek sacred knowledge, attain what? With the grace of Allah, attain forgiveness, attain salvation, attain honor in this world and honor in the hereafter, attain heavenly luxuries, attain the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise, attain the closeness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in heaven. This question may come to mind: how can we counter this longing for sin, or this really strong inclination to sin? And one simple way to counter this is to think about the consequences of bad actions or sinful actions. When you really think things through and you realize that there is accountability after this life, that we have to answer for our actions, and answer to whom? We must give an answer, or we must give an account of our lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot hide anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot make excuses in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's better to avoid humiliation on the day of judgment in front of the entire creation and refrain from disobedience now. This difficulty, personal difficulty, is a lot less difficult and humiliating than the humiliation on the day of judgment. In fact, this difficulty that you look at in this world is actually rewarding for you. And it's not humiliation. This is honor, or a means of honor. Honor is that which is considered to be honorable, or honor in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, good is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam have related to us as good. One of the issues people have is they have this love for wealth, and they're always craving for, they're always coveting more wealth. We have ways to counter this. If there is such a strong feeling in one's heart and his inclination to worldly wealth is so strong that he's often distracted by it and it's making him heedless, there are ways that our scholars have mentioned. How can we be saved from the love of wealth, or the wealth of this world? So I would like to share with you some ways of attaining salvation from the reprehensible love of wealth, the bad element of loving the wealth of this world. Earning or having money in itself is not something which is sinful, but when people fall into the reprehensible elements, they must be made aware that there are ways of countering this. One way, we can pray in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate in the court of Allah that He protects us from the negative element of inclination to the wealth of this world, or the love of wealth. Another way of countering this is to control desires. How can we do this? Prioritize. Most of the time, the things that we want are not really necessary, or our lives don't depend on those things. It's just a craving or a yearning, or it's just a desire which does not necessarily need to be fulfilled. So if we understand this and we control those urges to spend or to earn more, to spend more, then we might be in a better position. One should place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning you earn what you earn, but do not think that it's not enough and you will starve without any real reason to think that. Meaning, if one is earning an average wage and he's able to put food on the table for his family, he should not be thinking that unless he has amassed or saved so much more money, things will become difficult for him. Have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your best and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not having long hopes that looking into the future and in 10 years time, 20 years time, 40 years time, I will be here, and planning in such a way, or having, if someone is a father, he's thinking about his grandchildren before they're even born. This is the nature of human beings. So control your aspirations and your hopes. remember death. When you remember death, it severs all desires. So when you realize that the craving that you have will not be fulfilled once death comes to us. Once we die, everything, this yearning and fulfilling of desires all comes to an end. So when you remember that reality, it breaks the urge, or it counters that urge to spend more or to become lost in the love of this world. One should think about the accountability. The more you have, the more accountability you will face on the Day of Judgment. So when you think about the accountability of the rich folk on the Day of Judgment, this should deter you from wanting more in this world. Adopt generosity. When you give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will create this light of goodness in your heart. Sharing with other people will make you realize, and when you, as you express your generosity, you will see other people who have less than you, and when they will appreciate your gesture, it will give you confidence that you can help other people, and there is more to life than personal hoarding or personal amassing of wealth. If we help other people, we will actually help ourselves. We will feel better about ourselves. Adopt patience and contentment. Be patient when you can't have something which you don't really need, and be content with what you have. This will counter this worldly love. Think about the disadvantages of loving money. When people love wealth or love money, they often become secluded. They become people who are almost antisocial sometimes. They spend less time with their families, with their children. Most of their time is spent trying to get more, amass more. And this is why they lose a connection, or they weaken their bonds with their family members, their relatives, and people in their neighborhood. Remember, we should seek ways of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, we are travelers in this world. We may deny it or we may not deny it. We are here in this world to collect good deeds, good actions. We do not know which of those good actions become a means of salvation for us. We should be people who are striving, yearning for more goodness, more righteousness, more piety. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. If we seek in the right way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us acceptance in His court. If we seek the knowledge of the religion so that we may obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best way possible, if we personally strive to seek more ways of attaining reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can hope to attain forgiveness and salvation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to have a yearning to do good, to have this feeling, this strong inclination to worship, devotion to worship, devotion to following the prophetic way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success through our good intentions. May we seek and attain. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.